Let's go ahead and take our Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In July of 1886, the Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon, he introduced a sermon with an interesting story. I'm going to read that for you. He said this: during the infamous reign of the Roman Emperor Nero, a great famine threatened Rome. During the famine, many starving people would stand along the seashore, anxiously awaiting for the merchant ships they hoped would be carrying food. But when the ships arrived, their hopes were dashed by a cruel discovery. The ships were indeed loaded with cargo, but not with what the starving masses anticipated. Nero had commanded all the trading vessels in Rome to bring sand for the gladiators' arena. In a complete act of indifference, Nero neglected the need of the people for the sake of frivolous recreation. Standing nearby was a ship owner who turned to a shipmaster and commanded him to take a ship once more to Alexandria. This time, the shipmaster was to bring nothing but wheat and corn. He told him not to carry even a pinch of sand. "People are dying," he said, and his ships would henceforth be committed to bringing what the people so desperately needed. Then Spurgeon, once he ended his introduction, he said this: "I have seen certain mighty galleys of late loaded with nothing but mere sand of philosophy and speculation. I have said within myself, nay, but I will bear nothing but the revealed truth of God, the bread of life so desperately needed by the people." It has been over a century since that message was given, since he gave that story and had that introduction. There have been so many advancements since that time, right? I mean, right now it's amazing that what we have just in our pockets, in our smartphones alone, that some of you have your, you know, you're following along with your Bible on your smartphone. Yeah, right, okay. But you have your smartphone there, and you're kind of paying attention. You got your scripture there. It's amazing what we have already since that time that Spurgeon gave this in 1886. But one thing that is true is that in spite of all the advancement, one thing that hasn't changed is people are still starving for the Word of God. While the hungry people may not be all gathering on the same shoreline, they're desperate. Their desperation is plain to see. Unbelieving men and women wander from experience to experience looking for something to fill the void. For some, it's drugs. For some, it's sex. For some, it's money. For some, it's a job. For some, it's a relationship. But even as they go after these, no matter how fast they run, no matter how hard they search, they still come to the point that it never satisfies. Drugs kill. Relationships disintegrate. Jobs change. Money runs out. Ultimately, what the world offers for the souls of men is as satisfying as sand to a starving man. And even as we come right now and we look at this, we understand that our only true satisfaction comes from one source, and that's from God's Word. Even the Lord said to the disciples in Matthew chapter 4, or even when he was tempted by Satan in Matthew chapter 4, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Do you remember when that was said to the Israelites as they were getting ready to go into the promised land? That which they had hoped for, that which had been promised to them. Their desire was to get there and to be able to live a life that was pleasing to the Lord. But God told them, just keep in mind that you are not to live just by the bread that you provide, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We understand that the Bible is necessary to life. In fact, it dispels doubts, it dissolves loneliness, it gives purpose, and above all, the Bible shows us God, His character, His law, His redemption for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we understand firsthand the power of God in that, right? Amen? If you're looking for a spot to give an amen, if you're waiting, the sign's not going to come, just let her rip, all right? So let's run at that one again. As Christians, we know firsthand the power of God's word to feed the soul for what it longs for, right? Amen. Once we were captured by our sin, once we were doing the same thing, running to find what would satisfy us, what areas could I pour my life into to find that which will fulfill me, which will help my family, which will help me live a life that's honoring and pleasing to God. Well, all of a sudden we found that there is nothing else except for what God shows us in His Word. In fact, as we would come to that and come to understand that, we understand that our desires, our hopes, and our priorities can change in an instant by the transforming power of God. We understand true life comes with knowing the Lord, and that happens only by hearing His Word. But conversion does not signal the end of our dependence on God's Word. In fact, we realize this, it's just the beginning. It's not in the matter that I can take in God's Word one time and then that's it for life. We need to have a constant, habitual time in God's Word, not only reading it, but studying it and understanding this is what's going to give me growth in the Christian life. The Bible says it teaches us, it reproves us, it corrects us, it equips us. If we're going to grow into a mature, discerning, righteous, and able Christian that God intends for us to be, we need daily nourishment. Amen? All right, so there's nothing I've said yet that you disagree with, right? Okay. Well, sadly, when it comes to steady spiritual nourishment, sometimes there are Christians that think they can live without it. They think that maybe that time I've heard the word, I got saved, and instead of relying on that, I'll just take it as that one time I heard it, it's going to last me a lifetime. If it comes to a point in time where you come into this place, only time you get into God's Word is when you open your Bible in here, you start to find that your life, maybe you're getting that point of frustration of I can't seem to live the Christian life the way it needs to be. Why does it seem like it's so difficult? Why is it I come to church and sometimes I get nothing out of it? Why is it sometimes I come in here and get frustrated? I would have to say it comes to a time when we don't get into God's Word. That if we're not spending time in His Word, letting God change us, letting God grow us, it starts to lead to some frustration. It's interesting how when God said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God. I had written this down. As a result, some of us suffer from spiritual malnutrition. Our spiritual growth is stunted because we're not receiving what we need. Let me give you three symptoms of spiritual malnutrition of the believer. All right, listen to these. A malnourished believer tends to lack discernment, makes him an easy victim for wrong teaching, even cults. Because our zeal for God is not tempered with our firm understanding of the Word, then all of a sudden we don't possess the wisdom that God wants to give us in every situation. Right now we have phones that I can tap on and I can get all kinds of news all over the place. And what we understand is that news comes from an opinion, comes from a point of view. And if we're not spending time in God's Word, understanding what God is telling us to do, we are not going to have discernment to live in this world. It seems like in times it's getting more and more confusing each and every week, each and every day. What am I supposed to listen to? What am I supposed to follow? This right here is God's Word that we need to follow. But if we're not careful, we could be a malnourished believer. And when we're a malnourished believer, we start to lack discernment. Secondly, Christians who don't feed on a steady diet of Scripture fall victim to sin more easily. Without the continual nourishment that comes from hearing God's Word, our spiritual defenses are vulnerable. Our appetite is weakened. Our sense of God's presence grows cold. Our sensitivity to the Spirit's prompting becomes dull. If we're left to our own devices, it will dash us against the rocks of temptation. When it comes to the matter of not being in God's word, not only will we lack discernment, but we'll also start to sin more easily. The third sign of a malnourished believer is that it is a life, it is a matter of unhealthy relationships. If we think that we can live off meager servings of God's word, then we're not equipped to respond to the inevitable offenses and disappointments of human interaction. Listen to this one again. If we're not only living on meager servings from God's word, then we're not equipped to respond to the inevitable offenses and disappointments of human interaction. Without sound biblical foundation, our relationships will fray and unravel when put to the test. A deep understanding of God's word is a powerful adhesive to a family and to friends, but when it's neglected, disaster is not far away. Can you see the problem that if we're not in God's word and we become malnourished and we're trying to live our Christian life on our own steam, what I think, what somebody else has said, expectations from others, and we're not getting it from God's word, we're going to lack discernment, we're going to sin more easily, and all of a sudden our relationships are going to become unhealthy. But that's not just for the believers, because then it connects to the church. If we're a church that's not into God's word, if we're a church that not only are we getting God's word, but we're not applying God's word, then we're going to have challenges even as we just spend time together and work together to get the gospel to everybody who needs it. Here we have missions conference coming up. We got booklets today that's in your hands. Hopefully you got those booklets in your hands. And at the end of the service, I'll point out a few things I want you to take notice of. But in there, you are holding really a pamphlet that's filled with people that have given their lives to get the gospel to others. The challenge they have is they got to make sure that they are in God's word just like you and I. Because when they're on the field, as they're facing temptations, challenges, and problems, it's God's word that's going to help us each and every time. It's God's word that they're to proclaim, but also not only are they to live, but they're to take in daily. But that's just not for missionaries. That's for you and I. God has planted you and I in strategic places, in neighborhoods, in families, at workplaces. And like we said before, there might not be teams of people on a shoreline that are looking for cargo ships, but they are still hungry for the Word of God. They're pouring their life in everything else except for God's Word, and then they come to an end of a life of realizing it just seems empty because they need God's Word. But not only do those unsaved need God's Word, but we as believers, we need God's Word each and every day. Now, when it comes to being malnourished, the challenge is this. Sometimes we don't know it. So I might be sitting there going, yeah, I'll tell you what, get him, Pastor. Sick him. Sometimes we got to make sure we take the mirror of God's word and put it on ourselves. And start to look in the matter of, okay, not judging myself by others, but taking God's word to say, how am I living my life? What is the fruit that's coming out of my life? Is there fruit coming out of my life? If I'm truly in God's word, if I'm truly growing in his word, as I'm truly living Christ to others, as I'm following what Christ would have me to do, what is the fruit of my life? Well, this is where 1 Peter comes in. All right, so if you have your Bibles open there to 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll begin reading at verse 23. 1 Peter 1, verse 23, you're going to go down to chapter 2 in verse 3. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of God endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." All right, let's pray. Father, help us now as we look into your word. Lord, there's such a desperate need in our world for the word of God. For many that are walking in this planet that is dripping with sin, following their own desires, their own feelings, coming up empty, but then shifting gears and trying something else. For those in here that know Christ as our Savior, we're so thankful that God's word was shared to us. The message that God loves me, sent his son to die for my sins, that if I call upon him, he will save me, cleanse me of my sins, and help me live a life that is pleasing to him. But Father, what we really need is we really need to stay in your word. It's just not that first time that we're converted, that we come to know Christ our Savior, and then we're done. That's just the beginning. And the way you desire for us to grow is the very thing that's sitting in our laps. Lord, I pray that you would work in hearts today. Help us to take a judgment, an inventory of our own lives. Do we get to a time that we're frustrated? Do we feel sometimes that we come to church and we feel like we maybe fill up a thimble full of what's being said, but then we spill it on the steps going out? What we need is we need a fresh word from you. We need to be in your word for you. And Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts through your word. Help us to see, are we growing? Is my appetite the word of God? And is my attitude one that I want to get God's word in? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here as we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, this right time is a time where Peter is writing to a group of believers. In fact, he wrote two books. And in those two books, one of the things that he did is they really talked about how they were preaching the world is going to end by fire. What happened there is the Roman government looked at that and said, okay, something's not right. Put persecution on them. Peter wrote these two books to encourage them that as they're living under persecution, to keep their eyes on the Lord, to live in the light of the Lord, and to be able to not to live under their circumstances. The challenges as they would live their lives is sometimes they got their focus off God. They got their focus on other things. And 1 Peter is written for a time for them to get their focus back where it needs to be. As you look here in chapter 2 and verse 1, let me get my notes. You can tell I'm second string here trying to get my notes right. As we look here on 1 Peter 2, 23 to chapter 2 and verse 5, that it's interesting that as we read that in verse 23, where it says there that being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In James chapter 2 in verse 16, Paul says the word of God is the word of life. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says the word of God is quick and powerful. It's living and it's active. And then chapter 1 and verse 23, it calls it the living word of God. It is through this living word that we're born again, that we're made alive spiritually, and it's through the living word that we grow up into Christ. Another amen? Would you agree with that? Okay, I know you got your smartphone on. Lunch is coming. Don't worry, you won't be late, okay? So as we look at this, as Peter ends up in verse chapter 1 and verse 25, and he reminds us again, the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Then he comes to chapter 2 in verse 1. It's interesting that he's going to start talking to us about how to grow in Christ. In chapter 2 in verse 2, he says there, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. You know, we'll see where the Bible tells us that it is milk, it is meat, it is bread. And this is how we eat of it, take of it, and grow because of it. And Peter comes in, and it's almost like he's reminding us, you need to get into the Word. But in chapter 2 and verse 1, it's almost like he hits the junk food list. If you're hitting a time where you're saying, I'm just not growing. It just seems like things are stagnant. If you're coming in and you're like the old Charlie Brown cartoon, I'm speaking, but all you hear is wah, 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 wah. Well, maybe this is the part you need to focus in on. In chapter 2 and verse 1, he says this, wherefore laying aside. Laying aside. That word laying aside is the same word that's used in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, where we're to lay aside every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset us. But many times we look at it as I need to take it like I'm taking off a coat and laying it down. It's not the picture of one that's undressing. It's a picture of one that is stripping it off and flinging it. I guess I would come to the point of thinking, have you ever walked into a spider web? You ever done that? Oh, yeah. How'd you respond when you got to a spider web? I'll tell you, you look like you were dancing like you've never danced before, right? I can remember being a paper boy. I had this trailer park called Fairfield Trailer Park. And in there, they had the mailbox on the sidewalk close to the trailer. Well, by the time the morning came, it's like the spiders from all over the world came there and just decided to make sure they had like finish lines for me on every trailer. It would get to the point that I know some people had to think I had to be the weirdest paper boy. Because I would walk with one newspaper out like this, and I would just walk the whole way down because I'm getting all those spider webs. Because I remember the first time I got it, as soon as I hit it, I about pulled my hamstring. It scared me so bad, right? It's like, get this off of me. It is interesting as we look here that Peter is talking about the same thing. He's saying, okay, wherefore you got to lay aside these things. You got to fling them off. You've got to get rid of them. If you're hitting a spot where you feel you're not growing spiritually, I want you to look at these five words in chapter 2 and verse 1 that Peter, before he gets to the point and really the meat of this message where he says, this is what I want you to focus in on. This is the part that you've got to remember. He does say this. Okay, you got to get rid of this. We know the Word of God is living. We know the Word of God endures forever. Then he has this point of almost like saying, here's the junk food you need to get rid of. We know we need to be in God's Word, but the unfortunate part is sometimes we spend time, instead of being in the bread, the milk, and the meat, we go after French fries, Coke, and M&Ms. And that doesn't help us grow. Sometimes we might read things about Christianity, or maybe we got a great author that we really love, but we stay away from this book. This book is what we need, but it's interesting that when Peter writes, he hits these five things. He says, wherefore laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speaking. Malice means wickedness in general. Guile is craftiness. Take those two together using devious words and actions, that if those are something that we do, then we're going to fall in the third category because we don't want people to know we're doing that. So what do? We try and hide it. So therefore comes hypocrisies, being somebody we're not. I was going to say wearing a mask, but that might not be appropriate for the day, okay? And then comes the word envies. Envies is talking about all kinds of evil. In fact, when evil's there, envy is usually there. And when there's envy, there's going to be evil speakings. It is interesting here that Peter, he highlights these things. He's saying, okay, you need to get rid of these things. In between what he says, the Word of God endures forever. Now he's saying, okay, we need to get rid of this because we get to verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Now comes the time where he's talking about what is the aim. The aim is to grow, to spiritually to be able to grow, to take that which God has given us and to make sure we're just not staying still, but that we are growing. Nothing was worse than when you were a child and you had a slow growth spurt, right? In fact, yesterday we were out going to some flea markets that my family likes to do. And also my father-in-law loves to do. And as we go to flea markets, we had to stop at a yard sale. I don't know if you guys are like this, but if there's a yard sale, if there's a sign, and we're riding with family, it's always, why don't we turn over and just look at it? Why don't we just do a drive-by on there? But for some reason, my foot just seems to go down harder on the gas pedal when that happens. I don't know. I don't know why that is. Well, this time, we went over and stopped near one in our neighborhood. Able to talk to one of our neighbors. He's a police officer getting ready to retire in about 4 weeks. He's selling stuff. And I saw some tennis shoes out there. And I usually not one to maybe get somebody else's shoes, but they weren't that worn. In fact, even Jordan looked at him. He goes, they're all right. And I looked at him. They're kind of my size. And nothing's going to make me look more legit on a basketball court than having cool sneakers. Amen? Yeah, one amen? Yeah, right. Okay. Well, when I got that, I was kind of picking them up. And they hadn't been worn. And they were a famous basketball. Who's the guy? What was that? LeBron, okay. They were LeBron shoes. Whatever. So I had those there, and I looked at him. I said, how much were these? He goes, $1. I was like, yeah, I'll pay $1 for that. He said, that was a time when my son went through this humongous growth spurt. He was just going, he was just getting shoes because his feet kept on growing, and he's just trying to get rid of these things. Now, when we're younger and we don't go through that growth spurt, that gets a little tough. You know, at our church, it was how we measured ourselves in growing was the coat rack. If you could stand under the coat rack, you were dinky small, all right? For the longest time, I was in the dinky category. And then I got to that point where I remember getting under there and my head hit the coat rack. And I'm realizing, I'm starting to grow. Well, when it comes to spiritual life, the worst thing we can do is go to church for so long but have no growth. Getting to the point that all of a sudden our discernment is whacked. We're looking at things and we're getting off on things instead of staying centered on God's word. All of a sudden we find ourselves sinning more easily. But we've been going to church but not being in the word, we become malnourished and we start to sin more easily. Or the fact we don't get into the word, we have great attendance, but we're not in the word, then all of a sudden our relationships become unhealthy. Here comes Peter talking to a group right then that is under intense persecution. They're under a government's thumb that is watching what they're doing, feeling like they're breathing down their necks all the time, feeling like there's persecution always around the corner. And Peter's coming to them and he's telling them, this is what you need to do. You need to remember that God's word is living. If it gets in you, it will change you. This Bible is going to endure forever. But you need to get rid of some things. If you're going to take God's word, you got to get some things out. Get that malice out. Get that guile out. Don't be a hypocrite. Stop envy and let go of your evil speakings. And then he says this. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We saw there that the aim is to grow. And the appetite we see there in verse 2 is the sincere milk of the word. That's what we're supposed to be into. That's what we're supposed to be eating. That's what we're supposed to be focused on, is the sincere milk of the word of taking this in. Because as we do that, we start to grow. But the end of this message, I want to focus on the last thing is the attitude. Look at that where he says, as newborn babes, desire. That word desire is long for, is crave. And I like the fact that he said newborn babes. Babies. Man, when babies are hungry, they let you know. Amen? That's right. Those in the nursery are going, hallelujah, I hear you. All right? I can remember as we had our kids, and some of the most fun time was feeding them, but seeing their desire to get their food and knowing the bottle was coming and just seeing us prepare the bottle. And you can see him. We tried to teach him sign language. You know, you ever try and teach your child sign language? You know, I think, what was this? Was this please? All right? This is the part of please. Man, soon as, I won't say which son it was, but there was one son, soon as the bottle would come out of me, it's just the focus of this. And sometimes you could tell, we had one, he was saying please, but we just couldn't get him to, he was just, there's the bottle. He couldn't get his hands up. He was so excited. That desire, that craving to get God's word in. Is that your desire? I know that you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever lost this? How do you feel when you lose this? Oh man, where's my phone? Where's my phone? Where's my phone? I said, if you see my phone, call my phone. Can you call my phone? Somebody call my phone. Okay, everybody stop because I put it on vibrate. Let's see if we can hear it buzzing. I got to find my phone. Man, if I don't know what to do without my phone. Okay, well, why don't you sit here for a while? Listen, you left your phone in the car. You'd be sitting here going, I got to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. And you're going to run to the car and get that. Oh, my precious. All right, I've got it. It's there. What if we treated God's word like our phones? Hey, man, has anybody seen my Bible? Have you seen my Bible? Where's my Bible? Oh, I left it in the car. Oh, I can't even function. Don't even talk to me. Don't even say anything to me. I can't listen to a word you're saying. I need to get my Bible. Do we crave God's word like that? Do we get to the point where we're coming into church and realizing they're going to sit down, and we have a church that for 52 years has been based on God's word? We have a history of great preaching from this pulpit, of men and ladies that have taught from this book, have lived from this book. But what about when it comes to you and I? Do we have that desire? Do we have that craving? You might say, well, yeah, I want that craving. You know, it's interesting when you're full, there's certain things you don't want. In fact, I wonder if that's what Peter was talking about in chapter 2 and verse 1, realizing, okay, you're too full of this. You're so full of this, you're not going to get anything else. You're mad. You're disappointed. You're upset. You're talking about other things. You're spending your time with junk. You're so full of this, you're not even getting a craving for it. Listen, when it comes to cravings, I'm just telling you right now, we have got the best dog in the church. If you've ever met our dog, not friendly at the beginning, but she'll love you at the end. She is a great dog, but she is so picky. And many times we talk, she's like, oh, she's a little fat. She's been eating too many snacks. Because sometimes she'll come up and sit there and you'll take, say, okay, let me give you a little snack. And sometimes she'll just sniff it and like, nah, I don't want that one right now. And you're like, you are so picky. Sometimes when it comes to the matter of God's word, when Peter says desire, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word, sometimes it comes to the matter that there's other things that are filling us up than this. And maybe you're sitting there going, okay, Pastor Bob, thanks for pointing out the problem. How will we solve this? How can we change this? How can I get that my desires where I crave God's word? Let me give you a few verses. If you want to write these down, these are things that have helped me. And I'll tell you what, if you've heard me preach before, sometimes I bring these up time and time again. I'm reminded in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 7, where it says, the full soul loatheth the honeycomb. Yeah, we understand that. Basically, we're saying the full soul doesn't want dessert. Have you ever eaten so much and they go, hey, we got dessert? Oh, not right now. And then there's other of us, yeah, bring it on. All right. But many times it's like, no, I don't, I can't take in another bite. the full soul, that's when it says the full soul loatheth a honeycomb. Ugh, I don't want it. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. To the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. When I was working in ministry down in Florida, I was a visitation director for our church. And so I went out to visit different ones, and there was a man that had been sick. He was in our Senior Saints ministry. I went to visit him. As I went to visit him, I found out that before they became frogmen, when he was in World War II, he would go to the beaches, dive in, and detonate bombs, mines in the water. And I can't remember what they're called right now. All they had was a knife. All they had was a knife. They would be dropped off by a boat, and they would swim down. They'd have a snorkel, and they'd swim down, come up, get air, but go down. That's what they do, is take that knife. They were taught how to detonate the different bombs that were set up to get the boats as they were coming in. And as I was talking to him, because he had this display out, and I thought that was pretty cool, and I said, "Oh, so yeah, my dad was in the war." He said, "I was a POW. I had gotten captured." And he said, "I was in, I think it was in the Philippines." And as he was there and he was captured, I was fascinated. I'd never met somebody who was a prisoner of war. And I said, "What was that like?" He said, "Hunger." He said, "I was starving." He said, "I remember I kept on thinking, I'm so hungry." He said, "Finally came the day that I decided I was going to catch the rat that always came in my place, and I was going to kill it, and I was going to eat it." He said, "It wasn't a matter I kept on thinking about, and I'd see it, and I'd just not do anything about it because they were running everywhere, but there was always one that ran through." And he said, "Finally, I set up everything, the trap." And he said, "The day I was ready, the day I was set up," he said, "that was the day we were rescued." But he said, "To this day, I can remember being that hungry." When I was younger, telling my dad, "Hey, Dad, can you make me a hamburger? I'm hungry." He goes, "No, if you're really hungry, you'll eat a Braunschweiger sandwich." My dad always ate Braunschweiger. I didn't know what Braunschweiger was. I was like, "No, Dad, I'm really hungry." And I remember one day I was so hungry, I said, "Yeah, I'll eat a Braunschweiger sandwich," not knowing what it is. How many know what a Braunschweiger sandwich is? Get ready to get educated. All right, you'll want to remember this. One day I decided to read the label. Liver paste. My dad loved liver paste. In fact, it looked like something you would buy at a 5-gallon tub at Lowe's. All right? I remember eating it because I thought I was so hungry. My dad always said, "If you're really hungry, you'll eat this." There are times when it comes to a matter of craving God's word, desiring as a newborn babe. When a baby has that hunger, they're going to let you know. How is your attitude when it comes to the matter of God's word? Do you have a full soul that loatheth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet? And then you're saying, "Okay, well, how can I get hungry?" Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 says this. Jesus, speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Listen to that again. Our Savior says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I would encourage you and challenge you to pray that God makes you hungry for his word, that you be hungry like a newborn babe, craving God's word. Because one thing that we see in this world, that so many people are running to so many places to find something that they think will feed their soul, but all it is like sand. This right here is the very thing you need for your job. This is what you need for your relationships. This is what you need for each and every day of your life. And it's amazing that God has given it to us as a book that we can open and we can read. But it's got to come to the point where you've got to lay aside some things And you realize, okay, I need to grow. That's the aim of this. And my appetite needs to be the Word of God. But I love the fact he commands us about the attitude. As newborn babes, crave God's Word. Pray that God will make you hungry. And then start to get into the book and read. One other verse I'd have you do is this, Psalm 119 and verse 18. Psalm 119 and verse 18, where it says this, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." When it comes to the matter of this world, even when Spurgeon was preaching this over a century ago, and he was preaching, he gave this illustration about this boat, I thought was really interesting. And the fact that he then, right then, after giving that story, he said, here's my commitment, that I'm always going to preach the Word of God. This is what people need. After all the advancements that have taken place, nothing has changed. Men and ladies are still starving for the Word of God. We as Christians, many of us that are here that are believers in Christ, we need to once again reevaluate. Where's my desire? Maybe you are a newborn babe that desires something, but is it God's Word? Is there something else that has grabbed your attention? Are there five things that you see in one of maybe those five things you see in chapter 2 and verse 1 of malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy, evil speakings? The things you know, these things have got to go. It's not a matter of just picking up and then laying it aside. Rip it off and get rid of it and get into God's Word. This right here is what God will always use to change and form our lives. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you for just for grabbing my attention this last week and getting my focus on, once again, of so many things that are happening in this world, so many things that are happening in life. So many times I could read the news and it just seems like it would just affect my attitude. And the reminder, once again, that I need to be like a newborn babe and I need to crave your Word, that I may grow thereby. Father, I pray that you would help our church to have this very attitude, because so much depends upon it. As we live in this world that is dripping with sin, as we interact with one another, and sometimes it's so easy to offend or disappoint, that we need your Word to help us not only in how to live, but how to react, how to make things right, where to put our focus in. Father, there's couples here, there's families here that need your Word in their lives each and every day. Father, help us never get satisfied with the fact of, once we got saved, that's all we need, or I get enough once a week. But Lord, help us to see it from your point of view. Help us to hear it from one of the words of one of our heroes, from Peter, that's screaming in our ear, get rid of these things and take in God's Word. Take it in like this is the only thing you can even think of right now. Oh, if our attitude was that, if our hunger was that truly intense, Lord, I pray that you would help us, that we would constantly be a church that is hungry for your Word, that we would be able to understand when you said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let me just ask you this. Maybe there's someone here today that you've yet to come to a decision about Jesus Christ. Even today, you've heard about the fact that God has given us redemption, the forgiveness of our sins through his Son, Jesus Christ. And you've heard about this. and you've wondered about this, but maybe you're on the outside of the family of faith and you're looking in, but yet today God is working on your heart. And you're sitting there saying, you know what, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me that I would get saved soon. I feel God is working on my heart. And I just appreciate if you would pray for me that I'd get saved soon. If that's your prayer, nobody else is looking around, it's just me and you. If you just raise your hand till I see that so I can pray for you that you would get saved soon. Anybody like that this morning? Pastor, pray for me that I would get saved soon. Father, I pray that you would help our church to remember that our name is Bible Baptist Church, and that name Bible would be a constant reminder that this is your word to us on how we are to live. Help us to treat this as a precious treasure, as something that we need each and every day. Lord, I pray you would work in hearts and help us as we walk from this place, that we truly make an evaluation of how we are hungering for your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.